If you have your Bibles, let's open up just for a few moments to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, P-H, Philippians in the New Testament. And this is all I have read this last week. The last 7 days, this is the only book I have read out of the Bible. And I've just tried to saturate my mind with it. And the book of Philippians, I want to just give you something just real brief tonight. And I think the Lord is in it. One of the young ladies, as she testified, she said the statement. And I said, okay, Lord, I know this is what I'm supposed to speak on. And so let's just have a prayer, and we'll just look at the background to this book and then give you three stages of this thought tonight. Father, thank you for how our hearts have been warmed. Men have already said, what a great spirit tonight. We got to hear from the young people what you did. We got to hear in music what you've done and you're going to do. And now we pray that you would help us through the message to understand better who you are. And help it to last. Help it to be something that speaks to our hearts and not just entertains, but something we can take home with us. Some homework. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So here's the book of Philippians. It's got to be one of my favorite books of the Bible. How many of you that have been saved a while, you would say it's in your top five books of the Bible? Maybe Job would have been there. Maybe Psalms. Maybe the Gospel of John or one of the Gospels. But Philippians got to be up there if you've been saved very long at all. I like it because the theme is joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. We all need strength. Life is tough. We have to have joy. And it's the book of Philippians. It's joy about the author. It's the Apostle Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus, the Christian killer. Then he became the church builder. So there's joy in who God saves, who he changes, and who he uses. And we ought to just be joyed as we look at some of these young people of when they got saved and when their families got reached. And you know, there ought to be a joy story in your family about when God reached down and touched your family and got your family saved and started that whole chain of events. And then there's also joy here, joy at how God works. Because the book of Philippians started in a jail cell. Some of you know the story. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, healed a necromancer, a fortune teller. And this girl could no longer pick if it was going to be a 7 or 11, Brother Bob. She could no longer pick what numbers would be on the one-armed bandit or the lottery numbers. And the men that owned her were so upset, they beat the Apostle Paul, stripped his jacket off, beat his back, beat his partner's back, Silas, threw him in the deepest prison, put him in stocks. And then at midnight, because of the joy that God gives, they sang and praised God. And the Bible says the prisoners heard them. So they weren't secret in their worship of God and how they felt about God. The joy came out of their mouth. It came out of their heart, came out of the cell, and others heard it. Even the jailer heard the singing and the praising of God and the praying. I love that because there's joy in where this book would come from. Because the jailer ends up getting saved. He says, what must I do to be saved? In other words, what do I need to have what you have? You have something I need. I beat you and you're singing at midnight. What is this religion? And I just love that. Because that night Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. God's not satisfied with saving one person. He wants all of our family and family members saved. The jailer got baptized that night. His wife and children accepted Christ. They all got baptized. And that night, we believe this church at Philippi was formed. This is where a church was formed. To me, that's joy of how it all started. A church started in a jail cell. That's pretty good. And that's where it was all started. And so there's joy at these dark times. The book of Philippians, the theme of it is joy. Paul had joy because he hung around the source of joy, Jesus Christ. Now, with all that said, I want you to see a key verse here. Just one verse, Philippians 3 and verse number 10. So this great Christian, Paul gets saved. He is now a church builder. He has been persecuted. He's been beaten, thrown in prison numerous times, shipwrecked, snake bit, lied about, fasted, went hungry, didn't have enough clothing. Friends turned on him. You name it. Paul was the Job of the New Testament. Chapter 3 and verse 10. Here was Paul's goal in life. You ready? That I may know him. That was it. Paul, what do you want in life? I want to know God. I just want to know God. I was speaking at a camp in Louisville, Kentucky. They had a great big theme on the tabernacle. It was at Reno Lyken's camp, and it said, knowing him and making him known. That's always been the theme of their camp, just knowing him and making him known. By the way, you'll never make him known if you don't know him. You can try, but you'll never make him known. When you know him, it will come natural to make him known. You don't talk about someone like you love them if you don't love them. But Paul said, my whole goal in life, I just want to know all about him. Had a friend of mine, bodybuilder, looked much like myself years ago. And his name was Don Smith. And I said, Don, what do you want in life? He'd always say this, I want to be the man on earth that loves Jesus more than any other person on earth. That's my goal. And he meant it. Paul's goal was, I want to know God better than anybody on earth. I want to know God. I love that thought. Three stages to knowing God tonight. Number one, known. We have to know how he knows us, what he thinks of us. Turn, if you will, just for a moment. We won't be long. Psalms 139. Notice this. I was in the car. Fellas from Crown, look at this. Recognize the tie? It's a Clarence Sexton tie. This is the type tie he'd wear. This is one of his ties. I knew you guys were coming. I wore it to his funeral. I wore it tonight. I was thinking about him. I miss that guy. Years ago, I was speaking at a conference. Brother Sexton spoke at the same conference. Eddie Lapina, one of the staff members in Hammond, Indiana, was his escort. Took him to the airport, back to his motel room, back and forth. I spoke at the conference. Brother Sexton spoke. I spoke. He spoke. And so Eddie Lapina came up to me after he dropped him off, and he says, Mike, we're on first name basis. When you're in your 60s, you can call someone by first name. He said, Mike, I don't know what you've done. He said, Brother Sexton loves you. He said, all he asked me was, how long have you known him? What do you know about him? What's his background? He said, all he did was ask me about you. He says, what have you done to Brother Sexton? Man, you put this spoofle dust on him or something. All he wants to talk about is you. And I said, he said, he's going to have you preach. He wants you at this conference and this conference. He says, I don't know what it is, man. That's all he wants to know. And you know what I found out? God feels the same way about you. He loves you. He has flipped over you. Notice what it says in Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God knows you better than anybody in the universe and still loves you. He knows your faults. He knows your good times, your bad times, and loves you the same. He loves you just as you are, but refuses to leave you that way. He's in the remodeling business. Verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting. Some of us say, well, I'm kind of in my downtime right now. God says, I know it. He says, and my uprising. He knows when you're down. He knows when you're up. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Sometimes we don't understand ourselves, and God says, I even understand your thoughts. Verse 3, thou compassest my path, and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God says, I know how you are, but there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows our words. He knows our ways. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind, before, and laid thine hand upon me. God says, I'm in front of you, I'm behind you, and I got my hand on you. You know, that's pretty good right there. And then look down in verse 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me. He leads us. And thy right hand shall hold me. He's holding your hand. Verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God says, I'm thinking of you all the time. I just want you to know, he knows you. He knows you backwards and forwards and loves you and cares for you and has a plan for you. And number two, knowing. So how do you get to know somebody? I mean, on earth, how do you get to know God? How do we do this? Now, you can meet someone and not know them. I've met some, quote, semi-famous people. was on the plane years ago with one of our congressmen, Bill Dodd. Some of you have seen the signs around the city and the country. I mean, I spent an hour with him on the plane. But if I walked up to him, he wouldn't know who I am. But I met him. I was 15 minutes in Manny Pacquiao's office. And he signed stuff for me. We talked a little bit, made a little video. You've seen it. But if I met him on the street, he wouldn't remember my name. I know him a little bit, but I don't really know him. For you old timers, I was on the plane with a television celebrity, Soupy Sales. You remember? Was it Jeopardy? No, it wasn't Jeopardy. It was Hollywood Squares or something. Soupy Sales, and he was on there all the time, a comedian type show. And I gave him a gospel track. I said, "Hey, you know, I'm the pastor." I gave him a gospel track. Next thing I knew, he moved on the other side of the plane. Like, I'm getting away from this guy. So I met him. I was in the airport. I met Eric Estrada, Chips, the TV show. You'd have to be old timer to remember that. Real old timer. He starred in the movie The Cross and the Switchblade. Nikki Cruz, that was him. And so I met Eric Estrada, gave him a gospel book. Got to meet Santa Claus, and that was in Tennessee. He was in the airport, the original one. Got to meet him. And so you can meet someone, but not really know them. You know, you can meet Jesus, you can get saved and accept him as your Savior, but never really know him. Right. Who's that? Oh yeah, that's that guy that I saved. Oh yeah, he's my Savior. I remember way back when he came in my heart, but has it progressed any since then? Yeah. How do you get to know someone? I love these little boys were bragging on their dad, and one of them said, "My dad knows the governor." The next little boy tried to trump that. "My dad knows," get that, Trump? "My dad knows the president." Then the last little boy looked around and he goes, "My dad knows God." What a compliment, huh? For someone to think, we really know the Lord. My mama knows God. By the way, my parents have seen him already. Many of your loved ones have seen him face to face. We want to know him so well when we go to heaven, we're comfortable in his presence. We're not a stranger. Charles Spurgeon said, "I want to love God and know God so much that when I kneel down and say, 'I love you, Lord,' he looks down and says, 'I know it, Charles. I know it, Charles.'" What are these stages? How do we get to know him quickly here? Know about what he's done publicly. Looking at his creation. The intricacies, microscopic, telescopic. Every bug, every leaf. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Anything that's living has something to teach us about God. He didn't just create this beautiful universe to say, "Look what I made." No, he's saying, "I'm trying to tell you how great I am." How do we get to know him? Look at what he's done. Jesus is the one that created everything. Read his words. Look at his deeds. How do we get to know him? Spend time with him. You parents have said it. I've said it to our kids. Who you been around? Who you been hanging around? Why? It rubs off. Rubs off in the conversation. Rubs off in our personality. Rubs off in how we walk or talk. It rubs off on us. Time. How do we get to know someone? Talk. Talking. Prayer. How do we know someone? Listening. How do we get to know someone? By doing things together. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You get to know me and learn about me as you work with me. And that's why the greatest way to get close to the Lord is doing something with him. Soul winning, serving. Why? Because he's yoked right there next to you. And you never get to know someone well like working with them. You really get to know them. Number one, realize how we're known. Number two, knowing him. And then last, making him known. Making him known. That's what this summer's about. Summer of reaching people. Summer of getting the gospel out. Making him known. It's what bus ministry is. Soul winning. That's what backyard Bible clubs are. It's what missions are. That's what buying the buses is all about. Making him known. Paul, what do you want to do? He said, "I just want to know God." And if you want to know him better, you'll get to know him. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You take a step, being closer to the Lord, he'll take two steps, getting closer to you. I'll end with this. Boy, what a sharp message. It's not always like this, fellas. We don't always have you guys here. My daddy and I were not close growing up. And some of you had parents like that. Your parents were missing, or they were just busy, had priorities out of order. So my dad wasn't always gone, but he'd be gone a lot. Christmases, birthdays, hurricanes. And so when dad was home, I never felt close to him. So it wasn't like we'd sit in the room and talk. I didn't have anything to talk about. We didn't do trips together. We didn't go places together. I never felt close. My dad didn't have relationship skills, so he didn't know how to be close. His dad probably wasn't close to him and so forth. So I remember one day my dad came home from a business trip and he came into the room. So naturally, I got up to leave. And some of you understand what I'm talking about. He sat down in the room, so it was time for me to leave because I didn't have anything to say and didn't feel felt awkward. And he said, "Son, I'll give you a dollar if you'll just stay in the room." And I felt so sad later for my dad, thinking he had to buy time for me to even want to hang with him in the room. You know what I found out? The Lord is willing to give a whole lot more than that. Would you just stay in the room with me? It's not about me. It's about what I can do for you. If you'll just hang in the room with me a little bit, you'll get to know me. You'll feel more comfortable with me. And soon we'll talk about everything. And you'll want to even read the notes I've written you called the Bible. You'll want to look at things that I've done. You'll want to get to know me if I can just get you to stay in the room a little bit with me. Knowing him and making him known.